joining. Let's give a brief introduction. Thank you to Rabbi Fleischman. I know he's busy. Even though he's retired, he's probably busier than when he worked. So all his obligations. We appreciate you taking the time. Thank you to Mark, sponsoring the series. It's a quick story. We all know we don't need to be convinced how important Shema is and how it's part of our lifeline throughout our history. You may have heard the story, but it's worth repeating. Rabbi Eliezer Silver was a chaplain, and after the war, 1945, there were many children who were put into churches taken by non-Jewish families, and they were lost. How are they supposed to get them back? So he went to these homes, to the churches, where these children were kept, and he cried out. He said, Shema Yisrael. And he noticed some of the children, they were electrified. They woke up. There was a light that he saw in their eyes. It was clear that those children were Jewish children. And he was able to save 25,000 Jewish people with this tremendous, it's not an energy just of the Shema Yisrael. So that's just one story, and we know in good times, bad times, how Shema Yisrael is somebody who's kept and keeps us going. So thank you, we appreciate, and we're privileged to have you give us more meaning to Shema Yisrael.
Okay, I wasn't going to start with this, but since he mentions lost children, in a way I myself could have been, would have been such a lost child. My father, Lo Yavol Shalom, was nift of natural causes just before Kristallnacht, and my brother, Lo Yavol Shalom, was able to get in a youth transport to England, and my mother and I, eventually through the efforts of my uncle in Argentina, were able to get a visa to a specific city in southern Chile. They wanted to populate, called Patagonia, and on the way there, the war broke out, and we couldn't get there easily. In the meantime, my uncle was able to get us a visa to Argentina, a permanent visa instead of a transit visa. But the point I'm going to make is that whether Chile or even Argentina, I would have been lost probably to Yiddishkeit in one way or another had it not been for my brother, whose lifelong desire was to go to yeshiva, and now in England he could realize it, he could go to Gateshead, but he didn't. In consultation with the Nürnberger Rof, who survived Kristallnacht because he was in Riga, in Latvia, and then he eventually became a Rof in Haifa, he decided to forego yeshiva so he could be with his mother and with me in order to make sure that I would grow up as a good Jew. So much in honor of the memory of my brother, which was memory evoked by introduction. Now today, the next introduction is not about the Shema either. It's in honor of Yom HaAtzmaut. I imagine everybody here remembers clearly November 30, 1947. Anybody here who doesn't remember it clearly, that was the UN resolution of partition, and the miracle there was there couldn't have been any such resolution without both the United States and the Soviet Union, who had never voted the same way before, to both vote in favor of partition. That was the beginning miracle, and of course during the following months and the following year, there was miracle after miracle. No question that the best, by far the best equipped army and the best trained army in anywhere in the Middle East was the Arab Legion in Transjordan, which is now called Jordan. And there was no hope for the little yeshiva of 600,000 men, women, and children in Palestine to survive an attack, certainly not by the united front of all the surrounding Arab states. But miracle after miracle occurred, and some were literally visible miracles, such as an entire army seen approaching by the Egyptian army when there was no army, and that stopped the Egyptian army in their tracks. And this is just one of many miracles in the War of Independence, which you may or may not remember. Some of you, I notice, are a little younger than I am. Now, back to Germany in my childhood. I had a siddur, but I didn't know the word siddur. German Jews call it a tefillo. Both the word siddur and the word tefillo are, I suppose, shorthand for Seder HaTefillo or Sidur HaTefillo, right? The order of prayer. And in the prayer book, you will find something called the Shema. There's only one problem about that, and that is that Shema is not a prayer. The prayer, the Tefillo, is what we call the Amidah, Amido, standing prayer. The weekday, it's a Shmona Esrei, even though it has 19 brachos, originally it had 18. Or the Tfilas Sheva on Shabbos and Yom Tov, or Tfilas Tesha on Rosh Hashanah, which we only practice for Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. But the Shmona Esrei or Amido, that is facing God. And of course, when you face God, you stand at attention, feet together, as the angel showed us in the vision of prophets, and you, the person, the individual, you, the Jew, face HaKadosh Baruch Hu one-on-one. Preferably, of course, as part of a minyan, part of a community, but it's still one-on-one. As you dare speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You speak, or I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so the Shema. I sit down. Why do I sit down? Because this is not me talking. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. These are the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a quintessential Talmud Torah, quintessential learning of Torah. And the minimum of the minimum of the minimum is the daily Shema, twice a day, as commanded in the words of Yishoch of Komecho. Let's begin by translating Shema Yisrael. What does Shema mean? Well, we all know it means to hear. We all know it means to listen. We all know it means to understand. Going deeper, literally, to absorb, to internalize, has to become part of me. I repeat it every day when I'm alive, from earliest youth to my deathbed. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It has to become part of me, this declaration. Shema Yisrael. Okay, does anybody know what Yisrael is? According to the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, it has three basic meanings. It means, first of all, Yaakov Ovinu, Yisrael Ovinu, our father Yaakov, the direct father of Rome was two generations removed. Yitzchok, one generation removed. Yaakov was the actual father of the 12 tribes, the actual father of the Jewish people to become and to be. And more about this next week, Blineda, but the original Shema Yisrael meant our father Israel, our father Yaakov. So, it refers to our forefather Yaakov. Shema Yisrael. I'm speaking to you, the Jew. You, the Jew. To internalize it, to make it part of you, every thought of you must be influenced by Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Who's Yisrael? Yisrael is Am Yisrael, the Jewish people that God chose for the task of being His Edim, His witnesses. And this is hinted in the Torah itself by the large ayin in Shema and the large dalet in Echod, eight witness, and the prophets say, both Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, I believe, in the words of Yeshayahu, Atem Eidai, you are my witnesses to carry my message to the nations, to carry my message to humanity. Atem Eidai, and there's a book that you actually may not be familiar with, written by Rabbi Smith in Chicago, I guess 70, 80 years ago, called Treasure Hunt in Judaism. And he paints the picture of who's this Yisroel, who's an aid among the nations. Picture a classroom, and the teacher is working hard at getting the lesson across, and he really explains it. And then he asks, does anybody understand? And only one little kid raises his hand. So he says, okay, you come up to the front and you go explain it to the others. That little kid is Am Yisroel. That's a Bechiras Yisroel, the chosen people. So Yisroel means our father Yaakov. Yisroel means myself. Yisroel means the Jewish nation. Hashem, again referring to Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, he always talked at length and width about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transcendental and is imminent. Transcendental means he's not part of the world. He cannot be part of the world because the world is material and the world is time-bound and he is timeless and not material, way beyond material. He made the matter. He's beyond reach, beyond anything, even beyond our imagination, totally removed from us. And yet he is imminent, which Martin Buber did a lot of point out, the you, right? Buch ato. He speaks second person, familiar, ato. Not only kevodo, in the third person, but we also address HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the second person, ato. You are so close to me, closer than anybody else. Where everybody else fails in relationship to myself, you are always here, you are always with me, you always love me and are available for my love to be extended to you. You are so close to me. It's Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem that takes no possessive. Yud Kei Vov Kei. Is not subject to any declension, it cannot be owned. Hashem is totally removed from me. And yet Elokeinu, our God, Elokai, my God, yes, we possess God. We acquire Him through our relationship with Him. And He is infinitely close to us. It's Hashem Elokeinu. And this same Hashem is Echod. What does Echod mean? Anybody know what Echod means? I don't know. In the Agoda we don't know, so we ask the question, Echod mi yodea? Right? Who is God? First of all, Echod should be translated as one, but even more meaningfully it should be translated as unique. He's the one and only. Unlike many theists who claim to believe in God as a creator, as the boss of everything, but who cannot bother with the everyday details of human life, far below his dignity. To us, he's totally, I mean, since he's one and only, he's both far and near, totally removed from this material world and totally in charge of this material world, totally interested in this material world. And so he becomes the master of history, as we say in the end, of course, of the third paragraph, we refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim. He is the master of history. He is totally interested in every decision I make, and he rewards every decision I make if it's good, or punishes every decision I make if it's bad. He is Echod, one and the same. And ultimately, interestingly enough, the gematria of Echod is Yud Gimel, referring to the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes of God, which is also half of the gematria of Shem Havaya, of the four-letter name. So, anybody who can say the one posuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in 2 seconds is really a master of intellect, master of understanding, because all the thoughts that go into it, he should really harbor, as it says Shema Yisrael. It might take as long as 3 seconds, even 4 seconds. Shema accompanies us from earliest childhood. Torah Tzivolonu Moshe, Moroshu Kilas Yaakov, and then you teach your child Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And on the deathbed, whether you die of natural causes or the death of a martyr, with me is other words, if at all possible, Hashem Elok, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. On Yom Kippur, when it gets dark, when the stars appear, Yom Kippur begins. What do? I say Shema with its brochos, beginning of Maariv. The Kol Nidre is before the stars appear. What do? At the end of Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, I say Shema and Baruch Shem and Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, beginning and end of Yom Kippur. Not every Rav, right. But it's certainly a good idea.
Everyone that I've
been. We say the Shema because we are commanded in the Shema itself. These words shall be on your heart, on your mind. Even if you are down, when you stand straight, that's Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai should never be ignored, just because the halacha isn't like that before the Mashiach comes doesn't mean Beis Shammai isn't a profound teacher of Torah. Beshoch b'cho, when down, of kumecho, when up, always these words must be with you. But we pass them like this. Hillel, this refers to time only. What time? B'shochbecho. When people are asleep. And some people are asleep. Those who are not yet asleep must say. In other words, any time it's dark. Uvkumecho. As people arise, the first quarter of the day. But preferably earlier than that, just before, when the red glimmer appears on the horizon, just before the disk of the sun becomes visible on the horizon. That's the best time to say it, in the 10 minutes or so that it takes for the sun to make it above the horizon, to be immediately followed by the tefillah. Then you face God, and the connection between the two is Geulo, Bruchat Hashem Goal Yisrael, which immediately must be followed by Shemoneh Esrei. You must say the Shema Bechol Levavecho Bechol Nafshecho. Bechol, all of your heart. Levavcho, written with double vase, as our sages say, it means the entire heart, as they explain it as saying, Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, every ounce of intellectual power you have, because leif, you know, has in English a double meaning. Leif as the seat of the intellect, and leif as a seat of emotions and desires. It's both part of the word leif or leivov. So this entire leif or leivov, this entire seat of the intellect, the entire seat of your desires and emotions, must all be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, every ounce, if you're in the United States, or every gram, if you're elsewhere, of every molecule, you're a physicist, every atom of your being must be devoted to this, to this meaning, to this message. Meaning, in one Hebrew word, kavono, direction. Concentration, total devotion. There's really a triple kavono here. First of all, the usual kavono of kavonos ha-mitzvos. Lechatchilo, definitely you should have kavono for the mitzvah, and at least for the first pasuk, right? I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me to say the Shema. The second step in Kavona of the Shema is what our sages call the first paragraph, and what our sages call the second paragraph. First paragraph, Kabbalas Olmach Shomayim. I, the mortal, accept upon myself the yoke of heavenly authority. I am nothing if I am not the servant of God. And before I forget, I must renew this message every evening, every morning. Right? That's the first paragraph. Kabbalas Olmach Shomayim. I accept God as my king, as my authority, my one and only authority. In the second paragraph of the Shema, Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos. Whatever Hashem commands me, that's for me to do. That's my job. In other words, my acceptance of God is not some far removed intellectual understanding or concept. It's also something very practical. His mitzvahs are my plan of action. His mitzvahs are my schedule. His mitzvahs are my from the totality of my goals. The lechatchilo, the mitzvah is that ab initio, you must try to, you must intend to, you must attempt to le'ashmia le'ozno, you must hear every word that you say. The message should be internalized, but it should come from the outside. It does come from the outside. It comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And practically now that I'm saying the Shema, it comes in the form of words. The words of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that I take, the physical words, and I must bring them to the inside of me, but it must start as physical words. Tzuch lashmir le'oslo. It must be loud enough for you, for me, to actually hear every word. And this includes what? What must I hear? I must hear the message. Every message contained in the Shema, which we're going to go to before long. I must hear every sentence, every pasuk. I must hear every word. Every syllable in every word, I must hear it clearly, exactly. No shortcuts, no mumbling. Speak up clearly. Don't run one word into another. Our sages point out certain words that you mustn't run into the next word because they totally can change the meaning. But certainly every word must be clear. It must have the right meaning. Okay. I think this is one of the things that Rabbi Lee had in mind. So, don't think I have quite enough sheets here. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Some of the common errors in pronunciation. The title of this is "Did you have dessert when you crossed the desert?" What point am I making? That this word can mean two very different things by depending on the stress. Dessert is not a desert, and desert is not dessert. And you have other words in English where the noun has one stress and the verb has another stress and so on. Well, listen carefully when a person says the Shema, and right away with great kavona you'll start, you have to! Utterly wrong, of course. Because line one, they all have to. The ta'amim of reading the Torah also serve as stresses, right? And we all have to as a double stress, as you see the two dots over the to, the kaf koton, and the other stress is the vertical line under the aleph. We all have to, and that means this stress means that the vav in front is all the way to the left, a vav ahipuch. A vof that does not mean and, a vof that simply changes future to past to future, changes tenses. So ohavto means you loved. Ve ohavto, you must love, you will love, you should love. But that's of course the message here in the Shema. Ve ohavto. Line two, if you pronounce it ve ohavto, it means and you did love. And you loved. That's called the Vov Achibur, conjunction and. The same thing in the next few words. Vishinan Tom, you must teach them thoroughly, exactly. The word is related to shein, teeth, a sharp tooth. Must use the sharpness of definition, of exactitude. It also contains in it the word that our sages use for learning Torah, Mishnah. The word Mishnah comes from this Shoresh. Something, and Sheni, Shenayim, same Shoresh. You go over it again and again and again. That's how you learn it, by repetition. So how do you teach the children? Sharply, exactly, and over and over and over again until they really master it. But anyway, the word is pronounced with Shinan Tom. The ending, of course, the Tor in line one, Veo Hav Tor means you, and the Tor in line three means you, from Ator, from the word Ator, you. And the Mem is short for Haim, them, you, them. So you them teach. And, well, no, teach you them. Okay. Vishinan Tom, teach them thoroughly. And not Vishinan Tom. Vidibar Tor, you must speak, you must converse of Torah, speak of Torah wherever you go, whatever you do. And not Vidibar Tor. Venosati Metar Tzachem Beito, and so on and so forth. They have it twice in the second paragraph, in Nosati. I shall give, I shall provide. From Nosan, to give. And T, the ending T, is short for Ani, I. Hashem is speaking, so I give. Incidentally, the pronoun in a verb is indicated by either the ending or the beginning. Ending is after the shoresh, which means past tense, afterwards, behind. Very logically, that indicates past tense. If the pronoun is in front, like an aleph in front, etain, eilech, echtov, the aleph in front is from the aleph in ani, I shall. The noon, neilech, nitain, nichtov, from anachnu, not aleph, because ani took care of that already, so it's the second letter of anachnu, noon, neilech, we shall go, and so on. So it's in front, because the future is in front of us. And the present tense is the vav or cholom in the middle of the word. Present is right here. So it's holeach in the middle of the shoresh of a cholom, an o. Holeach, shomer, and so forth. At any rate, line 7, venosati, I shall give. Line 9, veosaf to. You will gather, you'll be able to gather your grain. Not veosafto. That's one of the errors. The other error applies only to those who use Sephardic pronunciation in Hebrew. And one comma looks like another comma, and comma is a vowel underneath, it looks like a little T. And in most Sidurim, there's no distinction made between the Komatz Koton and Komatz Gadol, which actually even Ashkenazim should pronounce differently from each other, and certainly Sephard, those who pronounce it in Havara Sephara did definitely, as I'll explain in a moment. And there are two, I didn't get to write down the name. So the very bottom, line 16, if you happen to have a pen, I'm sorry, write down, what's the siddur called? There's Lewis Siddur, we got from the chasm here. On the far right, far right. What's it called?
Koren
Siddur. Siddur Koren, right? Sorry, I left it playing. Siddur Koren with a long kuv. Those are the only two Siddurim I know, line 16. Siddur Koren and Siddur Rinat Yisrael, which we have one or two copies here, I think, which was originally published for the Israeli army, I believe, that make the kamatz katan with a longer stem, so you know the difference. Now, what is the difference in pronunciation? Okay, Hebrew has five vowels and five vowels, five long vowels and five short vowels that correspond to each other. There's a long vowel called the cholam, which is pronounced O, or Ao, less correctly, according to most scholars, Oi, or A. Anyway, cholom. That's a long vowel. Its corresponding short vowel is a kamatz katan, which looks like a kamatz, like a little T, but it, even in Sephardic pronunciation, must be pronounced as O. Right? So, going to line 11, Bechol, most people know that. Bechol, even in Sephardic pronunciation, it's Bechol. Line 12, many people do not know that. Uveshoch Bechol. In Ashkenazic, or with Shoch Becha in Sephardic pronunciation. It's an O in Sephardic pronunciation when you lie down, when people are lying down. 13, Ule Ovdo. Ule Ovdo, and to serve him, is also Kamatz Katan. Line 14 is in the Shmone Esrei, Chonenu. You know that because it's followed by a dagesh, a dot in the next letter. It has to be a kamatz katan. Chonenu. Line 15, Ve'onyenu, also in the Shmone Esrei, because it comes from Oni, with a cholam, Oni. Any kamatz that comes from a cholam is the short version of that vowel. So it's must be pronounced Be'onyenu, not Be'anyenu, that is wrong. Okay, that's a couple of the errors I pointed out here. Now, go to something more fundamental. Okay, there are two titles on this page. The top title is HaMitzvos B'Kriya Shema. And it's simply a list of the mitzvahs as listed in Sefer HaChinuch, of the mitzvahs contained in the first paragraph and in the third paragraph. The second paragraph has no mitzvah is listed, even though, of course, it does contain the declaration of... not it contains, it represents the Kabbalah's old the mitzvot, accepting the mitzvot, the second paragraph. Okay, we are all familiar with this, it's just a kind of a review. Number one, Achdus Hashem v'kiddush Shem Shomayim. Shomayim Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is one and unique, and I must be Mekadesh Shem Shomayim. Everything I do must be with the object of making people think well of God and His name and His message. The most typical example is honest behavior, honesty in business. An honest Jew brings praise to Hashem, as to the glory of Hashem. And dishonest Jew practices Rachmona Litzlon, Chas V'Shalom, Chilul Hashem instead of Kiddush Hashem. And of course, the ultimate Kiddush Shem Shomayim is even giving up my life. I must dedicate my life as long as I'm alive, and even if it entails giving up my life, there, so be it. And I mean, there are exact laws in Halacha when to give up your life, when not to give up your life, as you probably know. But when it applies, when the time has come, under the circumstances, Kiddush Shem Shomayim is called for. I must give up my life to burn in the fires of the Inquisition, for instance, or to have my skin peeled off me with iron combs, as the Romans did to Rabbi Akiva. Two, Avas Hashem. We have Torah Hashem, Lekecho, B'chol Levav, B'chol Nafsh, B'chol Me'odecho. I must love Him with my whole heart, which means my intellect and my desires, my wishes, my emotions. B'chol Nafshecho, as Chazal say, I feel no Torah Nafshecho, even if you must give up your life. It must be done, not only done, but done lovingly. U'b'chol me'odecho. And that's, of course, for those who love their possessions more than their lives. Give up your life. I mean, give up even your possessions, even your money. Everything. Me'odecho means everything you have. Not only, it doesn't mean only your money, of course. All your potential, all your abilities, all your future, everything. At this point, I want to point out Baruch Sheomar, Baruch Halevi Epstein asked the question, how can the Torah command us love of Hashem? Love is an emotion, either I have it or I don't have it. How do I force myself to have it? So he says, while there are many answers to this, of course, that there are ways by acting out our love to Hashem, by acting out the right, going in Derech Hashem, we make ourselves love Him. But he says, and he points out the Chazal in a way hinted this in many places. If I act in such a way as to make other people take notice and say, oh wow, is this what Hashem commands? That's what Hashem says in His Torah. Wow, Hashem is a pretty good God. Spread the love of Hashem, cause others to love Hashem. That's one aspect certainly of We all have toys, Hashem Elokecho. Bring the love of people to Hashem. And that, of course, includes yourself. You make yourself love Hashem by acting in such a way that Hashem's name becomes beloved in the world. Three, Limud HaTorah. You must teach. You must learn and you must teach. You must learn and you must teach. That's the essence of our, at least as Jews, of our mission in the world. Four.
Excuse me, three. What is after Limud HaTorah in?
Oh, I'm sorry. What
is written?
What is written here? Yeah. Just a minute. What is written here? It's number three, right? Listen and teach Torah. Aim lechol ha-mitzvos. This is really the mother of all the mitzvos. The Chazal say, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Teaching Torah, learning Torah, in the other opposite order, is outweighs or all other mitzvot, because without knowing what you're doing, you can't do it. So it's aim lechol mitzvot, the mother and father of all the mitzvot. Okay. Four is clear Shema itself. Twice daily speak and internalize the Shema, as we discussed before. B'shochbuch of Kumecho, when you lie down or when people are asleep and when they get up. Then number five, tefilo shel yad. What does it mean, tefilo shel yad? You put the phylacteries on your arm next to your heart. Dedicate and channel your thoughts to Him. Al rosh, your thoughts, right? Okay. Number six, Tfilos Shel Rosh, or Tfilin Shel Rosh, dedicate and channel.
Your thoughts.
Number five is your actions, and number six, your thoughts. Right. Number seven, Likboa Mezuzah. Every door, of course, to attach a mezuzah to every doorway, right? Every doorway and gate leads to his service. If I use it as a reminder, obviously. Eight, mitzvah tzitzis. The very corners of my garment must remind me of my duties, right? And we all know what tzitzis are, right? The stringes in the four corners of the prayer shawl. And finally, number nine, lo susuru. Incidentally, it's the same word as Moshe commanded the spies, susuru. Lo sur is Eretz Kenan. Spy out the land. Investigate the land. And here we must not investigate what? We must not spy out what? Do not follow visual enticement nor intellectual temptations. What you think about, what you desire, don't follow up on that. But let everything, your thoughts and your desires, be masterminded by the Torah. Incidentally, the first seven of these mitzvahs are in the first paragraph. Seven, of course, being a number that we all are familiar with. Next heading, Shema, concepts and principles. In the words of the Hebrew translation of Rav Sadia Gaon's famous book, Rav Sadia wrote what? What's the English title? Emunah Seder, the Hebrew title. The Hebrew translation, I mean, of Sadia's translation book from the Arabic. Emunos Vedeos, the basic principles of Judaism. I'm talking about some of them as contained in the Shema, of course, right? Number one, monotheism. Uniqueness of the divine existence. He is it. He's the only existence. There's nothing, no other existence, really. We only, you might picture us as existing only in God's imagination. Supremacy. He is the boss. Not only to tell us what to do, but also to direct history, also to be in control of everything that happens, with the only exception of my actions. Of course, I can choose which comes next. But included in this is Shema Yisrael. Yisrael, Hashem chose Am Yisrael. The choice. We are the chosen people. That belief itself, that principle itself, is part of the Shema Yisrael. We are the chosen people. Two, timelessness of divine rule. Of course, it's Boruch Shem that we whisper quietly. More on that next week. Blineda, Bosh, but Leolom, void. He is forever. We are not forever, but He is forever. The world is not forever, but He is forever. He is beyond time. He and his rule are timeless. Number three, human duty to cause love of God in the world. Kiddush Shem Shomayim, in other words, Ve'ohavto, I translate in the terms of Baruch HaLevi Epstein, love of God. Four, human, that's also love of God, human duty to act out our love for Him in real life, total devotion to Him in thought and deed. Five, immersion in Torah, in Torah study and Torah teaching. That's most of the first paragraph of the Shema. Speak of Torah and so on and so forth. Six, need for solemn twice daily ceremony, in other words, say the Shema. And it's a pledge of allegiance. Pledging allegiance to Him in first paragraph and to His mitzvah, second paragraph. Seven, the importance of institutionalized reminders. it's not enough that we should remember, you should really remember, but it has to be institutionalized so we don't forget. On the arm every day, on the head every day, tefillin. Mezuzot, on the doorpost. Tzitzit, on the corners of our garment. Eight, communal reward and punishment. That's the whole second paragraph. Schar v'onesh. And Hashem describes in detail, here and in many other places, how the nation, the community, will be rewarded for following the Torah and the consequences of not following the Torah. That is predictable to the nth degree. What is not predictable is individual schar v'onesh, the individual reward and punishment, because that's impossible to predict. Meaning, if Hashem were to tell us exactly what reward and punishment consists of and how it, what its mechanism is, we would become mere automatons. We would become robots. We would have no free choice, right? So Hashem cannot tell us exactly what our individual reward and punishment is, but we know it exists. We know he rewards and he punishes individually as well, but the communal reward and punishment can be described in detail. 9, uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. Where do you find that? Man yebuye mechem mechem al ho'adomo, on the land. Incidentally, Techeles, which apparently we could Techeles is the bluish green color of one string of the tzitzis that we don't have, or some say we do have again, but we only had it basically when we lived in Eretz Yisrael. The gematria of Techeles is 850, the amount of years we lived in Eretz Yisrael in the first commonwealth, from Yoshua crossing the Jordan till the first Churban, was exactly 850 years. Gematria of Techeles. What is Techeles? Techeles reminds us of the color of the sea, color of the sky, ultimately the divine throne itself. True Kabbalah's Olmach Shemayim, like all the mitzvot, can take place only in Eretz Yisrael. Uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, Techeles. 10. Free will. We have the power and the duty to choose our way. Where do we find that? You're not born a murderer. Oh yes, some people may somehow find more pleasure in bloodshed than others. Does that mean you have to become a murderer? No, you can become a shochet, you become a moel, right? If you are addicted to alcohol, does it mean you're lost forever? Ask anybody who about the triple A. No, double A. Sorry about that. This is not a commercial for the triple A. Double A. Alcoholics Anonymous. Can you change your ways after you have become an alcoholic? They claim you can. And I claim you can. Why do I claim? Because the Torah tells me that you can change your ways. For some it's easy. Some don't drink, and if they don't drink, period, not a big deal. Others have a very hard time not being alcoholics, but when it's easy or hard for you, you can do it. And so with all the other moral injunctions that present political correctness tells you you cannot control, the Torah says, excuse me, I, the Torah, say you can control it. Or if you couldn't control it, I wouldn't command you not to engage in it. 11 and 12 both are redemption from Egypt. 11, redemption from Egypt. God controls history. We were freed from Egypt. What do you mean we were freed from Egypt? Didn't it just happen? No, it didn't just happen. Hashem planned it very carefully. In fact, he planned it for 430 years. And from the time that Yitzchak was born, who was looked down upon by others, he was not as respected as his father Avraham. From the time of being a ger, Yitzchak being born and eventually becoming a ger in his own land, to the time of redemption from Avodas Perach. Hashem looks forward for 430 years, that's from the time that he made the Brisbane Absorim with Avraham Avinu, to Leil Shimurim Hu Lashem. Hashem expected this, Hashem couldn't wait for it to happen. He planned it all out. Hashem is a master of history. And 12, redemption from Egypt, its purpose is for our nation to serve God. That is why Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned in the third paragraph in the Shema. Every time I say the Shema, I remember that the purpose of my very existence as a Jew is to serve God. Thank you for listening.